Well, I want to wish you all a happy New Year's Eve Eve. That's what it is. And I want to tell you that me wishing anyone a happy New Year's Eve has not always been easy for me. Of all the holidays, New Year's Eve has always been my least favorite. In fact, I hated New Year's Eve my whole life. And I mean, I hated it, literally. New Year's Day wasn't so bad, mind you. It was the eve that I couldn't stand for most of my life. New Year's Day is not so bad, never was. No school, usually good stuff to eat, like ham and cabbage. My grandmother always told us if you eat cabbage on New Year's Day, you'd have money all year, which has been true, but the amount was the thing. So New Year's Day was just fine. But New Year's Eve, why did that tend to bother me? Just out of curiosity, anybody else not particularly like New Year's Eve? Okay. So I knew it was not just me. You could always keep New Year's Eve as far as I was concerned. When I was a kid on New Year's Eve, I wanted to go to bed about 7 o'clock and pull the covers over my head and wake up when it was all over. To me, New Year's Eve was just kind of a depressing holiday. I was never really a drinker my whole life. And to me, that was a night when people went out and drank too much and got in accidents and killed themselves or killed each other. It might be a time when me and my brother and sister would be with a babysitter while mom and dad went off. And I'm not saying they went out and drank. I don't mean to imply that at all. But they'd go do, you know, New Year's Eve things, and we'd be with a babysitter. So maybe I felt like I was missing out a little bit. I don't know. It was literally and is always a dark night, if you think about it. December 21st is the shortest day of the year. So roughly 10 days later, it's still pretty short. So it's a dark day with not a whole lot of light. It's a night where we're lamenting about the year gone by, about people we've lost, about sappy kisses from people you don't really want to kiss necessarily. It was a time for New Year's resolutions, like losing weight, exercising more, and knowing full well we're probably going to fail at those things. Worse yet, as it was a time as I got older, when I promised myself I would be a better person in the coming year, I'd be a more godly person, again, knowing full well that I'd probably fail. Maybe that was the problem. You've heard of a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's kind of like George Carlin's comedy routine where he'd say, "Oh, don't pray for me. Don't pray for me. I'm going to hell." Well, probably so, if that's your mentality. At the end of each year, what do the news programs do? They feature all the celebrities that have died in the last 12 months. I think that makes us all think about those close to us that we've lost in the last year. And we start doing thinking about our own mortality. We start doing the math. You hear about a friend dying, and I don't know if you do this, but I'll do this. Say, okay, Bill died. Bill was 65. I'm 58. 7 years left. Great. That's nice to think about. So here it is, that part of the year when the weather's at its worst. Dreary, dark, the days are short, the nights are long, and we're focused on our own mortality. You've heard of seasonal affective disorder, perhaps, SAD. Not enough light. Hint, turn on lights. It works. In my office, I have 3 times the light, and it really perks me up a little bit. It's a time when the charge cards start arriving after all the Christmas gifts we bought. And that's interesting. I told you I have a trial coming up next week. Plaintiff's lawyers, which is when you're representing the party who's asking to be compensated, we hate to have a trial in January, because that's when juries are the stingiest. So, I'm not going to give a whole lot of money. I just got my charge card bills. So is it any wonder that many kids and adults alike don't particularly like New Year's Eve? Maybe like me, want to get under the covers and pull them over their heads and wait it out. Any wonder why there's a lot of drinking, drugs, tragedies? Any wonder why we all start making a New Year's resolution that this coming year is going to be a better one? So what's the big deal about New Year's and why resolutions at that time of year in particular? You would think that January 1st is just an arbitrary number. I mean, let's talk about what is it really. It's been 365 days that it took the sun, or the earth to go around the sun. So it's purely arbitrary. Big deal. We made a successful trip around the sun. According to Wikipedia, New Year's resolutions actually do have a basis in religion. The ancient Babylonians would make promises to their gods with a small g. At the start of each year, they would return to borrowed objects and pay their debts. Sounds familiar. The Romans began each year by making promises to their god Janus, from whom the month of January gets its name. In the medieval era, the knights took a peacock vow. Don't ask me why it's called that. At the end of Christmas season, each year to reaffirm their commitment to chivalry. I kind of like that. Okay, guys, raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I, state your name, vow to be more chivalrous in 2019. Yeah, that's an elbow, that husband. Hold doors. Walk on the curbside when you're going down the street. At watch night services, many Christians prepare for the year ahead by praying, and making these kinds of resolutions. The tradition also has a basis in other religious parallels. During Judaism's New Year, Rosh Hashanah, through the high holidays, and culminating in Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, one is to reflect upon one's wrongdoings over the year and both seek and offer forgiveness. People also act similarly during the Christian liturgical season of Lent. Although the motive behind this holiday is more of sacrifice and responsibility. In fact, the Methodist practice of New Year's resolutions came in part from the Lenten sacrifices. The concept, regardless of the creed, is one of self-improvement. So every year we strive to be better than we were the year before. Well, as I prepared for this sermon, I wondered if the Bible had anything to say about New Year's resolutions. Not surprisingly, I didn't find anything literal. Also not surprisingly, I did find some things that really strongly imply that the New Year's resolution is a good thing. Both in the Old and New Testament, there are references to God planning for our futures. More importantly, what the Bible has to say about these things has really made me feel a lot better about the New Year's Eve and New Year's holiday. New Year's can be not so much a time of regret and lament, but rather a time to focus on the hope that God gives us. So this is the part of the sermon where I go from being Debbie Downer to, hold on a minute, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. In Jeremiah 20, verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in future." If that isn't enough to brighten your outlook about the new year and about the past, maybe letting the past go, consider this. In Philippians 3, verses 12 through 15, it says, "Now that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold for that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Wow. How about that? There's a Bible verse that literally encourages us to let go of the past and look toward the future. One of my favorite TV shows is The Big Bang Theory. And there's a scene, if any of you are a fan of the show, you may recall where Penny tells Sheldon to let go of something that's bothering him. And everything bothers Sheldon, so that's a heavy load. But she tells him to imagine holding a pen, a writing pen, and opening his hand and letting it go. Just let it go, she says. So if you ever see me and one of my loved ones, shall we say, making this gesture, let it go. Not saying who. Hop along. That's not to be confused with the sign of let's wrap up the sermon, let's cut it short that we give me or Kevin, and stop doing that, you people in the back row. So here we are. It's New Year's Eve. Are you making plans for the eve? Are you making plans for New Year's Day? Are you about to, or have you made New Year's resolutions? Well, I'd surely like to eat less and lose weight, be more fit. I was telling Matt I went and bought a couple of new suits yesterday for my upcoming needs, and sadly there was an error in the measuring tape and I had to go up another size and around the middle. Not two sizes. I'd like to have more money in the new year. I'd like to have better health, and I'd like for all of you and all my friends and family to have those same things. So those seem like pretty good New Year's resolutions. But those things are so fleeting. Kurt Vonnegut would probably call those things FOMA, or harmless untruths. Well, given where we are, you know what I'm going to say. Pretty predictable. There's really only one resolution that counts. And sometimes it's the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. The simple resolution, the best resolution, the one that will last the rest of your life, and in fact, beyond that, throughout eternity, is to walk a closer walk with Jesus Christ. That resolution, to be closer to God and have a closer personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, is, in my humble opinion, a way for all other things that are good to follow. And I'm not a prosperity gospel type Joel Osteen kind of person. I don't think it's automatic. I don't think that becoming a Christian means your bank account swells and you have all the material things you want. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that a closer personal walk with Jesus Christ makes all the other concerns seem like a lot less important. No matter what the economy does, or how much you have in your 401k, Jesus is there for you. No matter how much you weigh or what suit size you happen to wear, Jesus is there for you, or there for Him to love. No matter how lonely you feel, you are never alone, because you have Jesus. With Jesus, your past can be no more. And again, Curtis, I don't know how we coordinate these things, but your song mentioned broken chains again. The sin in our lives are a big, heavy chain, just like in a Christmas carol. And a personal relationship and a closer relationship with Jesus Christ helps break those chains. That's the kind of resolution that matters. With Jesus, the grave has no more power over you. because death is just a doorway to a better world, a better place, and heaven and eternal life with the Father. New Year's need not be all about partying. It doesn't have to be about football, dark or dreary weather, short days. It can be a time to remember how fortunate we are that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us so much that He gave His Son to pay all of our debts. So maybe your resolution can be something pretty simple. Just a closer walk with Thee, Lord. Maybe in the coming year we work in more prayers over meals. Maybe when you're at McDonald's by yourself having a hamburger, it's not so much the sneaky prayer, the Tim Tebow one, but maybe let people see us pray over a hamburger. Maybe find a daily devotional to turn to every day this year, or at least more often. Maybe attend a few more church events to be with your church family if you can. Maybe be a little more intentional about visits and cards and help with shut-ins or just ministering to each other, whether shut-in or not. And when I say each other, I don't mean just this church family in this building, but others in the world around us. Whatever it is, a resolution to walk closer with God is worth keeping. If you haven't made a commitment to turn your life over to Jesus, maybe now's the time. As we sing, if you need to make that commitment, or if you need to just recommit, or if you just need the hand of an elder laid on your shoulder, come up and see me or see one of the other elders. We'll hook you up.